just between us.
Hey!
Just between us.
Hey!
Hello! I'm Allison Raskin. I'm a writer, mental health advocate, and I've switched from shaving cream to shaving oil.
My name's Gabe Dunn. No, Gabe's not here today. My name's Melissa DeMont. I am a writer, producer, director, and I am a master craftsman of artisanal beverages.
That's so true. Today you made me one of the most delicious drinks I've ever had.
I'm very proud. This is like my hobby.
Yeah.
It's like one of the things I do that I enjoy that I don't make money doing. And so it felt really good.
It was a London Fog, which if nobody is familiar with that, or if somebody's not familiar with that, it's like an Earl Grey tea with infused with oat milk and honey. And it was unbelievable.
Yeah, but I infuse the actual like milk of it. Usually like it's separated. So it's like in one flavor.
Wow. Would recommend. Anyway, Gabe's not here. He's quit. He's currently at Sundance taking meetings and raising money for his indie film. And so it's this dynamic duo for this week and for next week as well.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time.
Because we shoot two in a day.
Uh-huh. If you are subscribed to their Patreon, then you know because we have the same clothes on.
Oh, that's true. Yes, if you subscribe to patreon.com/justbetweenus, you can see video of what's happening right now in your ears.
So good.
And anyway, this is Just Between Us, a variety show filled with heartfelt advice,
ridiculous games,
and brutal honesty.
I was on it.
You were, yeah.
I forgot that I would have to say it, but I knew I had to say it.
I do find like all the weird repetition of this stuff to be like weirdly comforting.
Yeah, we know what the show is.
Yeah. Or just like, I don't know, like, because sometimes I'm like, does anyone want to hear me like say this stuff over and over? But then when I listen to other podcasts that have stuff like that, I'm like, I like sing along. I'm like part of the thing.
Yeah, you know what to expect.
Exactly. Well, this is a really exciting episode. Probably one of my favorites, even though Gabe will be mad at me for saying that. But we talked to one of my friends from boarding school, Jed Bashian, and we just talk boarding school.
Yeah.
We get into the nitty gritty of what it was like to go to such a strange place. We had very different experiences there. She liked it. I hated it.
But I enjoyed this conversation very much. So thank you for suggesting it.
Oh, well, it's so bizarre.
Yeah, but there was a lot of similarities at my school, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because you went to a private school?
No, I went to private school for like 2 years. And I said, get me out of here. I don't like rules. I don't like wearing the same thing every day.
Well, honestly, I had wished we had had a uniform. It would have been easier than trying to dress cool within a dress code.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's so limiting, but then you can't, you have to still pick your own clothes, which mm-hmm. was annoying.
Yeah.
And later in the episode, we will be talking all about reviews and how much we pay attention to them. We're talking reviews for books, movies, restaurants.
I like to eat.
Okay.
Stick around after the break. We're going to have a wonderful interview with Jen Bashian.
Has dealing with stress and trying to get more focused a New Year's resolution you haven't cracked yet or don't really know how to fix? I have a lot of trouble staying focused, and I also get super stressed out, and I think the not being able to stay focused really dovetails with that. So if there was a way for me to keep my focus that didn't also cause my brain to get so scattered with stress, I would love to be able to fix it. I sometimes can't focus on the task at hand because I'm so busy realizing that there are things I need to do on the Just Between Us Instagram account. So I'll be like fully writing something and all of a sudden my brain will go, oh, JBU Instagram, have to post on social media. Truvaga is a handheld product that stimulates the vagus nerve to improve overall health and wellness. Stimulating the vagus nerve with Truvaga helps to balance and strengthen the nervous system, which reduces stress, increases focus, improves mood, and improves sleep. Truvaga is owned by ElectroCore and uses its patented technology for overall health and wellness benefits. Its utilized technology is the most clinically studied and tested vagus nerve therapy available. Customizable sessions are only 2 minutes long. Recommended usage is one session in the morning and one at night. Truvaga comes programmed with 350 sessions, which, if used twice a day, will last approximately 6 months. It's drug-free and easy-to-use therapy to help improve your health. No app or phone is required. We offer free standard shipping, payment plan options, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. It's only available in the U.S. at this time. Visit Truvaga.com, TRUVAGA.com and enter promo code Just Between Us to enhance your wellness journey, support this podcast, and receive $15 off. That's TRUVAGA.com. Check out promo code Just Between Us.
Just Between Us. It's time for the juiciest, most scandalous, most controversial segment known to all of podcasting, Tough Questions. This week on the show, we have screenwriter Jen Bashian, who is also one of my very good friends, and she is here today to talk about boarding school, because guess where we met? At boarding school.
I'm really looking forward to this conversation.
I'm thrilled because I forgot almost everything.
I know. That's why I'm looking forward, because now we can fill in some blanks.
It's like a Mad Lib. It's like all of this high school Mad Lib. We're going to fill it all in here today.
So you added the unique experience where you went for all 4 years.
Yes.
I only went for the last two. And I always said that the people that went freshman year really got screwed.
Yeah.
Why?
You're too young. It's too young to go be away from your parents and to have a school look after you.
It is very young. It's crazy. It is, you know, I think two things, though, that we're super, super different about are entry points into boarding school.
Yeah.
I feel like you have, you know, had this like loving family unit at home. You were an exceptional athlete and you had all of these, you know, you were kind of locked in and dialed in. I went to an all-girl Catholic middle school with uniforms, and I would go away to summer camp all summer that was also all girls and had uniforms. So that was what I was used to, being in some type of regimented, special environment, you know, yeah. Like before that. And so the weirdest thing about me going to Choate was not that, oh, I'm going to sleepaway school at 14. Like, I had done that. I'd lived in bunk beds and cabins and all of that. It was, oh my gosh, I have to go to school with boys. Like, oh. I had been in exclusively all-girl environments from fifth grade through eighth grade, which is the most, that's when all of the juicy hormonal stuff happens, yeah. And you figure things out. And I was just so not on that space.
How far away from home were you?
We were not far.
We weren't far.
That was kind of the other perk. I think if my mom didn't want me to go as far as some of these other schools in Massachusetts or places like that. I don't know about Scarsdale, but from my hometown of Greenwich to Choate, it's like an hour door to door, maybe, with traffic.
Mine was like an hour and a half.
And you went home every weekend, right?
Because I didn't have any friends.
You stay every weekend?
I stayed as often as humanly possible. My parents were going through a World War III, War of the Roses style, terrible divorce at the time. And so Choate was also a safe haven for me. If I did leave for the weekend, I would go to other people's families' houses, you know, and my roommate at the time all throughout, who was amazing, she's from the Bahamas and her whole family was in the Bahamas. So if I ever left, it felt like, you know, I wanted to be with her or, you know, she didn't have somewhere to go that was so close, you know. But yeah, Allison did leave. Allison left often. Allison was always in this office. You have to like go to a special office and fill out this little slip. I forget what that form was called.
I have no memory of this.
To alert them that you're leaving, you know? And I feel like I always saw you in that
office. I don't even have a memory that that office existed.
There you go.
But we were also a year apart. So I'm a year older than Jen. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I came in as a junior and you were already like the head of Choate when I came in.
That was the other unconventional thing about high school experience. I was essentially an unpaid employee of the high school because I held every leadership position and even ones that I didn't want, I inadvertently got. Like, I became a prefect, which is when you're a senior that lives in the younger students' dorms.
It's like an RA, but you're still a student.
But you're still a student. Yeah. And again, a lot of RA positions, you at least get free rent, but nope, not at boarding school. And then I was elected to be the head girl prefect. So all the other prefects voted for, you know, that wasn't something I wanted. And then at the same time, I was also chair of the judicial committee, which made me the ultimate snitch, basically. Okay. This is where you, you know, hold these tribunals for people that cheat. Oh, okay. Or
I was on that too. I never had to go to anything.
Oh, that's
like
nice.
In high school I was on that committee. Okay. Too.
No one got in any trouble?
Well, one person did because they pulled the fire alarm.
Oh, well,
that's I guess a big deal.
Yeah.
I don't know why I reacted like that's not that big of a deal.
In the wake of, you know, school shootings when that was happening. It was a big deal.
The biggest issue at Choate was, I think, plagiarism and things like that. And a lot of times it was because kids were so stressed out by the pressure to perform and the workload that you get there. I mean, that's the hardest I've ever worked in my life academically was at Choate.
College was a breeze.
College was, I slept my way through college in terms of schoolwork. Like I could do it in my sleep, especially compared to the hyperdrive that was Choate.
Because Choate was interesting, right? Because like to get into college, you're just competing with other people from Choate.
Yeah.
So like, you know, like because Yale can only take so many people from Choate. So like it's like you would probably have gotten into Yale if you went to any other school in any other state.
Yep.
But you're just competing against your other classmates. So it was like you ended up getting kind of like it was harder to get into schools than if you were in like a public school in a different state.
Almost impossible to get into your choice school.
But you as the head of the school, that gave you a leg up, right?
You'd think.
But she went to USC and USC, like when I told people I was going to USC, they were like, oh, I'm sorry.
Yep. That's exactly the look I got. And there was this thing that they would do your senior year where they would hold this bonfire. Here's the thing. The intentions of this bonfire are amazing.
There was a bonfire?
There's a bonfire where you bring your rejection letters.
I never went to that.
You bring your rejection letters from all of your colleges. But then what happened my year, and I'm sure it happened other years, but and who knows if they even still do this because it's, I don't know. I don't love the things that it highlights. Then it became kind of a flex for people being like, oh, I don't have any letters to bring. I got in everywhere I wanted. So actually, I'm just here to support. I'm just here for moral support for all of you losers who got rejection letters. So
that was weird. Did my year do that? Why was it not invited?
I feel like...
were you invited or do you just not remember that it happened?
I feel like you blocked out all that
Or did it happen on the weekend and you went home?
Yes, it might have been a weekend event. Allison was in Scarsdale during the bonfire.
I'm surprised to hear you say that plagiarism was the main thing because the thing about boarding school is there are so many rules that it's almost impossible not to break a rule.
The judicial committee only heard cases that were... How else to say this? Like, if you were caught breaking co-ed, which was if you were
you were in an opposite sex
room. If you were a
male
identifying human in a female identifying human's dorm room, not during visiting hours and you had to have 3 feet on the ground or something. Mm-hmm. It was these crazy rules.
What year you were determined how much the door had to be open.
Yes.
So like when you were a freshman, the door had to be all the way open and then it slowly closed as you got older. And then by senior year, I think it could be closed but not locked.
Yes. Yes. And there was a certain amount of time.
Yeah. You could only do it and you had to get permission. Yes. So like
how
breaking
much time?
Well, like when it was like free time. So like break was a big deal.
Break was
everything.
Break was the biggest deal. So every evening there would be a block called study hours.
Okay.
Where, and I'm pretty sure they did this, I know my freshman and sophomore year and maybe later on, and the rules have probably changed now because kids are so tech dependent, but they shut off the internet on the campus from 7 p.m. to like 10:30 or something.
I don't think they did that when I was there.
They did that my freshman year for sure. So we would have to all be in our rooms at our desks studying and doing work from 7-ish, I think, to nine. And then 9 o'clock is the infamous break Allison was talking about.
So then that's where everybody was fucking.
We'd all go. Yeah. Well, we'd all go outside and in front of the freshman boys' dorm, all these local food vendors, which included Domino's Pizza.
There was local food vendors?
Yes, Allison, where were you at?
No, I don't remember that. I just remember you would hang out outside at during break.
Even if it was freezing cold, you'd go out in your Ugg boots and you'd go and socialize. And that was the whole thing. It was like, we're on break.
Break. And my friend and I had wanted to make this shirt that was like, you could get a lot done in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
You really can.
But I guess you could be doing, you could get like permission for co-ed during break, maybe.
I can't remember that.
I don't know.
I know weekends there was more flexibility with co-ed and it also depended on what advisor was on duty. Like certain advisors were much more lax about going to check on you and things like that. I mean, again, I wasn't doing anything remotely scandalous. Like I
broke rules at senior year.
Wow. What rules did you break?
Oh. I broke co-ed once.
Allison.
What were you doing, Allison?
I was making out with this boy.
And then
my best friend was doing more in the same room.
Oh my God.
Well, I feel like that's kind of.
That's a rite of passage kind of thing. That's just going to happen.
I broke code that one time. I don't even remember. What was that guy's? He had frosted tips for sure.
Oh, of course. Or like a swoopy. They all had the swoopies. And every single boy, because we had a dress code, every boy looked like he was straight out of the Vineyard Vines catalog. Like,
Double popped collars,
khakis. We weren't allowed to wear jeans either. We couldn't wear jeans or like leggings weren't a thing then, but we couldn't wear those. Shorts and skirts had to be certain length. It was, you know, it was a lot of sweaters, turtleneck sweaters, mm-hmm. corduroy pants, Doc Marten shoes. That's what I wore every day, everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, what's funny is that like this sounds so uptight and compared to the other boarding schools, ours was the artsy one.
Yeah.
Like we were for the like the hippie boarding school.
That is so true. We were the least preppy of them all.
Yeah. Okay. The Doc Martens, I was like, that seems different.
Yeah, the Doc Martens were maybe, that was a holdover from Catholic school because I wore the low versions, which now I see. This is what's weird about life is now all that stuff's coming back.
Yeah.
So anyway, now all of Gen Z is wearing that. But did you do it with pencil thin eyebrows? And and did you also go to the tanning bed and like, you know, ruin your skin forever? No, you didn't. You know, you have like a 10 step routine now. I did not. I was doing like oxy pads and, right.
and
proactive.
The apricot scrub.
Oh, that yes, the St. Ives.
Yes.
Terrible.
I think Gabe still uses that.
Why?
Maybe not.
They said to stop.
Yeah.
The people said to stop.
Oh, the people really? Said to stop.
Maybe I might be wrong.
I think it's like the ingredients of that St. Ives scrub. It's like cardboard, particles, plastics.
Yeah. And it's like scraping. It's like scraping your everybody's face.
Yeah.
skin. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Just disintegrated pumice.
We're going to take a quick break, but stick around. Hi everyone, Allison here. Anyone who knows me well knows that I love to read. I am always looking for new books, and that is why I'm so excited that this episode is sponsored by Book of the Month. Book of the Month's mission is to help readers discover new books they love and to promote the work of emerging authors. It was so fun for me to get to pick which book I wanted to read this month and have it shipped right to my door. Book of the Month makes it easy to decide which book to read next. Each month, the editorial team reads through hundreds of new titles. They pick some of the best new books for you to choose from. All the books are good, so you can't go wrong. Every aspect of the Book of the Month experience is designed to be fun and special for readers. They have a highly anticipated release at the beginning of each month. Books are delivered in this really adorable bright blue box, and there's a fun app to help you pick your book and track your reading process. They also offer great values on new release hardcover fiction. It's much cheaper than other options. Shipping is always free, and with a loyalty program, you get rewards and even lower prices the longer you stay as a member. My first book from Book of the Month was The Husbands by Holly Gramazio. I am tearing through this book. It is so fun. It's basically about this woman who one day comes home and there's a husband in her apartment, and she's like, "Where did you come from?" And then she figures out that every time her new husband goes into the attic, a new husband comes out, and she's like shuffling through all these different husbands from the attic trying to figure out which one is the best. It is right up my alley, and I love it so much. So if you want to take part in Book of the Month and have a brand new book shipped right to your door every single month, go to bookofthemonth.com and get your first book for $5 with code PETALS. That's $5 off with code PETALS. I cannot recommend this enough. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you all about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or use their voice-to-text feature. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories, This is your chance to give her a way to share them. Right before I found out about this project, my mom made an offhand comment about wanting to write a memoir because she had such a wild childhood and there are all these things she's never really talked to us about. But asking someone to sit down and write a memoir is kind of daunting. So then I got her mylifeinabook.com, and now she's getting prompts to answer on a weekly basis, and it's a lot easier than just undertaking an entire memoir. I'm so excited to see what my mom does with mylifeinabook.com because she's someone who doesn't always feel comfortable just sharing about herself, but having these prompts and knowing that I really want to hear her answers is going to inspire her to probably share more with me about her life and her upbringing than I've ever been shared with before. So I'm so excited for that. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code JUSTBETWEENUS at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. Use code JUSTBETWEENUS for 10% off today.
Has dealing with stress and trying to get more focused a New Year's resolution you haven't cracked yet or don't really know how to fix? I have a lot of trouble staying focused, and I also get super stressed out, and I think that not being able to stay focused really dovetails with that. So if there was a way for me to keep my focus that didn't also cause my brain to get so scattered with stress, I would love to be able to fix it. I sometimes can't focus on the task at hand because I'm so busy realizing that there are things I need to do on the Just Between Us Instagram account. So I'll be like fully writing something and all of a sudden my brain will go, oh, JBU Instagram, have to post on social media. Truvaga is a handheld product that stimulates the vagus nerve to improve overall health and wellness. Stimulating the vagus nerve with Truvaga helps to balance and strengthen the nervous system, which reduces stress, increases focus, improves mood, and improves sleep. Truvaga is owned by ElectroCore and uses its patented technology for overall health and wellness benefits. Its utilized technology is the most clinically studied and tested vagus nerve therapy available. Customizable sessions are only 2 minutes long. Recommended usage is one session in the morning and one at night. Truvaga comes programmed with 350 sessions, which, if used twice a day, will last approximately 6 months. It's drug-free and easy-to-use therapy to help improve your health. No app or phone is required. We offer free standard shipping, payment plan options, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. It's only available in the U.S. at this time. Visit Truvaga.com, Truvaga.com, and enter promo code JUSTBETWEENUS to enhance your wellness journey, support this podcast, and receive $15 off. That's Truvaga.com. Check out promo code JUSTBETWEENUS.
Just between us.
And we're back.
It was just so weird because, like, you would also be, like, my senior year dorm bungalow.
Yes.
Like, there's a part where, like, a family lives there, too.
Yes.
So, like, you have a family member, like, you have a teacher faculty member who lives with you.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And so, like, there's all these kids that are growing up as faculty kids.
They're called fac brats.
And they go to school there, too?
Well, when they become of age. Mm-hmm. But you're, like, 0 to 14. You're just, like, living on campus of this school.
It's weird. Huh. It's weird. But I mean, for me, again, having no foundational family at home, I loved all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I have much older brothers. So I loved feeling like, oh, look at all these, you know, this teacher's kids are my kids. Like Mrs. Abate's twins are.
I couldn't name a single teacher.
Surprise, surprise.
That's the other thing that Choate did, too. I felt like I was, you know, I hear about other people and their high school teachers. And there was not that same level of intimacy that you had with our teachers were around us more than our parents on a day to day, you know? So it was just a super unconventional schooling pattern. But I think it's interesting to have me and Allison both here because I really see the pros on the pros and cons list.
Like, okay, what are your pros?
My pros are that it sort of forces you to gain independence. Very early on, I feel like there were people that had full meltdown, you know, upheaval crises during college because they like had never done their own laundry before. Stuff like that, where I feel like Choate gives you this insane workload and you're constantly around super intelligent people. So it just raises your whole, not to sound like a cult person, vibration. it raises your whole vibration up. And you know, there are some cons that come with that. There's like elitism and there's a lot of bullshit. But I do think, too, Choate was also a melting pot. You know, when else in my life would I have lived with someone from the Bahamas, you know, coming from Connecticut? There's no way.
My junior year roommate was from Venezuela, but then she lived in Florida because her family wasn't allowed back in Venezuela.
Oh, Well,
okay. It's very turbulent there.
Yeah, it is. What are your pros and cons, Allison?
Well, see, I will fight back against that. I don't really believe in independence being a virtue.
Oh, okay.
But that's a lecture for another day. And I wrote about that on my Substack, emotional.
Yeah. Plug it.
Plug it. Yeah. But I mean, I do think that it's important to be from people from different backgrounds. But wouldn't you argue that like it was pretty segregated and that like I feel like when I graduated, I knew everyone's name other than the kids who were from Asia.
This is true. There were serious issues with that, especially because
the international students were like not international
students. Yeah, not there. What's tricky is they were doing the really good job of the piece of DEI where it's like you're not actually including the inclusion part isn't actually followed through upon. I have heard that they've, you know, really taken a lot of student feedback to heart in the last, you know, 10 years or so. But when we were there, it was definitely, there was a huge socioeconomic divide because there were all these programs that existed, Icon scholarships, what was it called? Prep 9 or something, where they would specifically locate really talented students from underprivileged areas is what they would say, and offer them these full ride opportunities to go to Choate. But then is the douchebag frat bro in the making, kid who has a trust fund, is he really going to be inspired to commingle and socialize and, you know, with someone from another background? I don't know. You know, they didn't do enough to foster and engender the integration like you're talking about. And so then it did end up being pretty clicky, you know?
Yeah.
But then you hear that about every high school, unfortunately. There's sort of like, that's the thing. I don't know if that would have been different in another school.
Right. What was like the ethnicity breakdown?
Mostly white.
Yes.
And then there were a good amount of international students from Asia, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
But they, again, like very non-integrated, which
people
sucked.
Of color were the minority for sure. But
I didn't know a single person that was out when I was there.
And that's the other huge thing. There was no queer culture.
Yeah.
The closest thing to queer culture, which I think is true for a lot of high schools across America, was the theater department. You know, it's where everyone found their little safe haven.
Even like, I remember they were like, we're doing a really wonderful thing. We're welcoming students from after Katrina to come be here. And it was like two white guys. Wasn't that weird? I think about that all the time.
That's what you remember.
They were like, please give a round of applause for our refugees from
these
New
like
Orleans.
Super preppy, good looking white guys were like the Katrina people they were helping out.
And I think they were like sports. It was like some kind of thing where they were drafted almost to make our football team better or something like that. It was kind of kooky dooky, but no, did they go to Algiers in New Orleans and find people who, you know, no, they did not. So I think that there has been a big swing in a better direction in that. Probably across all schools.
Yeah.
But when we were there, man, it was really, it was airtight. Although to be fair, I was one of the only white people on the step squad.
You were on the step squad.
Which is maybe the most hilarious fact about me that anyone would ever know. Don't ask me to
I am tickled.
Don't ask me. Okay. I'm happy that you're tickled about
it. Can you do it still?
I can do some of it.
Okay. Well, we'll do that after this.
But that was a great experience. I mean, that's the thing. Erin, my roommate, you know, from the Bahamas, and she's black. And, you know, so I think that by virtue of that, I did end up mingling a lot more. And you also had a condensed time there, Allison. You know, you were there for literally half the time. It's harder to, I feel like I'm truly not trying to be like a Choate stan all the way, but it's coming out. I'm coming off really rah-rah.
No, it's good to have a different opinion.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, also a weird thing about Choate is that you had something called a PG, right? Postgrad?
A postgrad.
So you would have these athletes who had already graduated high school, but weren't quite good enough to get onto college teams and needed one more year of training. So they would come and do a fifth year, a postgrad year at Choate. So you had like these like 18, 19 year old, like huge athletes just like show up to like play sports and hook up.
Yep.
Ew. For a year.
Yeah. It was crazy. I mean, the PGs were the scariest when I was a freshman, because think about it. Some of these guys are like 20 and I'm 14.
Yes.
And it's like, And they did this thing. They tried to do this thing called sit down lunch, like 2 days a week, where they wanted you would get randomly assigned to.
I remember this.
Remember this? They, yeah. This was, I think, part of their. They realized it was not.
It didn't work.
It didn't work. But I think this was part of their. We're going to try to blend everyone together and get people to get outside their cliques and what have you. And so they 2 days a week, you had to sit down for lunch at a certain time with these people that you were randomly placed with.
And there'd be one teacher at the table.
And one.
So there'd be one teacher at the table with all these random students. It was twice a week. That's it was
twice
a lot.
A week, I think.
Can we go back to this post-grad thing?
Yeah. sorry.
Were they taking classes?
Yeah. Yes.
What classes were they taking?
I don't know.
Well, a lot of them would take...
Maybe APs or something?
Yeah, APs and things like that, because that would count toward your college credits as well. Okay. Like, a lot of the classes I took senior year at Choate applied toward USC.
Yeah, mine at my school, too. Yeah, so none of mine. That, yeah, I went to school, to college as a sophomore, essentially.
Oh, wow. Right.
But why? I just don't understand
it's
this.
So that they can, it's beneficial for the school because they have great athletes come in and enhance their sports teams. And it's beneficial for the guys because then they get an extra year fucking around and then they get to get drafted into a college like league.
But they don't just like walk on at college.
No.
Like, why wouldn't they just do, I don't understand.
They're not good enough. They okay. need like another too, year.
Yeah. If you don't get the right scholarship opportunities, it feels like, you know. Or if you know that the school you really want to go to has a star quarterback uh-huh. or a star running back or something, and you want to wait until that person leaves so that you can then scoot mm-hmm. right in, but you don't want to start your college years because you only have so many years of college to athlete play. Eligibility.
Yeah.
And so it sort of splits the difference between the two, but I agree with you. It is kind of...
And they would be the kings of the campus.
That's disgusting. Like, I don't like...
That. Why were they all men, also? I'm just realizing.
Were there any women?
I feel like there was maybe... I cannot recall a single female PG.
But one of our classmates has been in the Olympics a bunch, a woman for hockey.
She's incredible.
She's amazing.
She's a badass.
Like, I don't like ninth graders in high school. Like, I think that that should be junior high. So this is just... I just don't understand.
You know, originally they started, I think Choate in the past would start at like sixth grade and then they cut it.
Would
like,
it be separated though?
I don't think so. It was all boys.
It was all boys. Okay. It was the Choate school. And then in the 70s, Rosemary Hall, which was an all-girls school based in Greenwich, merged with Choate and they became Choate Rosemary Hall. Mm-hmm. Glenn Close was a Rosemary Hall
nice
alum.
Ivanka Trump went to Choate.
Ivanka Trump lived okay. in my dorm room, actually.
Really? Your exact room?
In my room.
In which?
Like 5 years before me.
Which?
My freshman dorm.
Do you feel close to her?
Do you feel
a connection?
I feel such a kinship to her.
You wrote a whole script about
it. I did write a whole script about it.
Wait, what's the script about?
I can't talk about this here.
Okay. But what's the log line?
I mean, can I?
Of course.
I don't know.
Just the log line.
Let's just say, I don't know. I'm not going to go full log line, but it was... There was a time travel element. We'll just say that.
For you or for her?
For the character who I guess would have been me
okay.
in that stead. But yeah, I mean, at the time, I didn't think anything of it because it was just these same old wooden mm-hmm. bunk beds that, or maybe it was library because I lived above the library my sophomore year. Was it that the room that we both had? I think it was. You know, you also share a kinship with Ivanka, Allison, because
why?
Ivanka also left Choate every weekend.
Oh, to go model in Europe.
To go model yeah. in New York.
I literally had a teacher that was like, yeah, she was my student. She would just like go off in a limo to go fly yeah. to.
She was also one of the only people that was allowed to have a car on campus. It was, there's oh, a right. lot of crazy stories.
So you're
about
not allowed
that.
To have a car if mm-hmm. you're a boarder. Mm-hmm. But then there are also day students. And so day oh, okay. students don't live at the school and they just come for the day and they're allowed to have a car.
So they
and
would so drive us everywhere.
You'd have, I never got driven anywhere, but they had the best of both. They had the best of both.
But maybe you did and you just
I don't think
remember.
So. I don't think I got driven anywhere.
Were y'all friends there? Did you become friends at USC?
We weren't friends at
we
USC.
We were not friends at USC at all.
At all.
At all. Ships in the night. Never spoke. Maybe we saw each other on campus a couple times, yeah. but
we were friendly at Choate.
Friendly at
and
Choate.
And we did theater together and we did mm-hmm. tennis together.
And I, like a lot of my friendships at the time with your class, like you and Meredith, and I like worshipped these girls because they were a year older uh-huh. and
worshipped
so cool.
me?
Yes, I thought because you were on the varsity tennis team, you were so cool and you hated everything. And I was like, wow, like Meanwhile, I'm drinking all the Kool-Aid. I'm in all of the things, you know? Mm-hmm. So Allison to be so
surly,
anti-establishment, surly, right. snarky, you know, a little bit bitchy, but in the delightful, delicious way.
No, I was very off-putting.
Yeah.
That's what I want to know. Yeah. Because Allison talks about how she was off-putting. Mm-hmm. What did you think of that?
I would agree with that. But I was maybe the perfect person to meet you at that energy because I was so desperate to be liked that it was like, oh, the challenge of getting Allison to warm up, you know, like,
okay.
Was,
no, I always loved you,
which is so funny because I didn't. I think I knew that, like, subconsciously, I knew that. But think about it. Okay, we're in this play and Allison and Meredith get cast as these, like, kind of kooky but hot twins in this German
child prostitute
in,
oh yes
child
yes,
prostitute
yes,
in a German expressionist play and I get cast with my braces and rubber bands as the grandma of these two women. Like, I was full, you know, quirky weirdo character actor girl, and you and Meredith were these hot older girls from my POV. So that's what I thought. And you were from Scarsdale, which was cool. Like, everything about you was cool. And maybe you being gone every weekend kind of created this mystery about you. Yeah.
Interesting.
Like, oh, I'm too cool for school. Literally.
Let me hang out with my parents instead. If you want to hear the rest of this episode, and let me tell you, you do, head over to patreon.com/justbetweenus. And for $3 a month, you can get access to all of our podcast episodes in full ad-free.
You can also get merch for this podcast at justbetweenuspod.com or allisonraskinexposed.com.
Okay, that's it. Tata la titu.
Tata la titu. Just between us.